a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Yesterday, when Cameron Ling was saying, hey, do you know what? Melbourne Marathon booked out. Not for me. I just get in there and like, oi, I'm Cameron Ling,
I'm
former premiership winning captain.
I'll be able to raise more funds than anyone else.
That's
so let
it.
Me in.
Let me in. Let me in. And they're like, right, all right, Cameron, stop calling us. We don't know who you are, but
I'm
fine.
I'm going to slag you in the media if you don't.
Yeah, exactly. On my non-existent Twitter page. Anyway, you got into the Melbourne Marathon and well done you. Are you doing the full one?
Yes. Oh, sass.
No, that's right.
Oh, he said, you know how some people like, I'm doing the marathon, and they neglect to tell you that they're doing the full.
The half.
Are you bagging those who are doing the half?
Half is a long way to run, 21K. Yeah.
Both are just as boring as each other. Anyway, you are running with a friend.
Yes.
A close friend that you've known for years.
Old schoolmate, one of my oldest friends. Mm. He's never run a marathon before. Excited.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be great.
And you're running to raise money for Fight MND.
Yes.
That sadly affected one of your other friends.
Yes, that's right.
Which is very sad. And so that's why you and your friend are doing this together. And after you told us that on air, off air, you're like, yeah, but, you know, I mean, we're doing it together, but I'm running my own race. Like I'm, you know.
Well,
I'm
it's your own personal challenge. You've got to get through these, you know, it's a long way. So
it's
you fight your way
K's.
Through.
Yeah.
It's a lot of K's. But we both felt that you would, you know, sit kind of in the general area of each other, that you wouldn't run off, considering you're both doing this together.
Mm.
You really can't just run off on him.
This was an off-air chat, Lauren.
Do you or do you not believe that you have differing ideas on what doing it together means between yourself and your mate?
This was an off-air chat, Tom. I just was simply explaining to the two of you that for some people who may be running their first marathon, the idea of, oh, we're going to do it together is like, we're going to run next to each other the whole 42 kilometres and we're going to chat away and
hold
it's
going
to be a great experience together.
Yeah.
Mm. It sort of doesn't work like that. What I was saying privately off air to you two was you start together, you might run the first K or so together, and then you find each other at the finish line and give each other a big hug, congratulations, this is awesome. And in between, you just do your own thing, whatever you can to get through.
That's maybe what you meant, but that's not how you said it. Mm. The way you said it was, I hope he doesn't think I'm effing going to hang around and wait for him. Because as soon as that race has started, I'm gone.
Yes.
I did not. I'm sure those words never came out of my mouth.
So is he aware that it's a race that's not really together?
No.
Is he on the same page?
It's funny you should say, I need to somehow broach that conversation.
Look,
with
we'll help you. How about this?
No, because you two will make up stuff.
No, because you won't broach. If we don't help you have this conversation with him, then you won't broach it with him. And the first he realises that you're not running it together will be him eating your dust.
Yeah.
He might be faster than me.
No,
could be
you've said off air that he's definitely not going to be faster
than
me.
That is not. I have not said that.
Yeah, that's all right. I just wanted to just get down the facts. Just make sure that we're all on the same page. Just leave it with us.
You mean the same off air, not live on radio, same page
just
when we're having
us.
A conversation?
Leave it with us.
That one.
Everything is fair game in this studio, my friend. All right. We're going to help you with this, Cameron.
No, you're not.
We're going to help you run this marathon.
You are not helping right now. Yeah.
On your own terms, because that's the most important thing.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au. The biggest lineup of entertainment is only on Stan. Now.
Grab your popcorn, kids.
It's Tom, Lingy and Luggies. I feel seen on K-Rock and Action.
All right, the way this works, Tom and Log are going to act out a scene from a movie. They've been rehearsing it constantly. They are perfecting
we
their
did
art
it once.
Form.
We rehearsed it once.
We don't need more than once.
No.
We're in the zone.
You're professionals. I am going to be the guesser of the movie. The acting is going to be so good, I'm going to just guess it like that. Now, don't forget, so I know that the acting has ended. At the end, you need to say, and scene.
And do the hand movements where we pull down the blind.
The curtain. Thank you very much, Tom. All right, you two
You're
ready?
You're going to be so, like, I'm
All right, I want to feel something.
Okay,
all
right.
You will feel it. You will feel something. Okay, here we go.
Look at you. All you ever do all day long is cuss each other. R-E-S-T-E-C-P. Do you even know what that spells?
Restepta?
Yes, restepta. How's anyone out there meant to restepta each other if you lot in here don't even start restepaing one another?
Sergeant, eject the gentleman.
Want to know how to make this country better? It's simple. Two words. Keep it real.
That's three words.
Don't be a spanner. It ain't a real word. It's short for innit, innit. And sing.
Oh, I like, it's there. I know it. I honestly do, but I'm not going to.
Come on.
Oh, it's
mate.
Not.
I can get Tom to quote some more. It was really hard to find.
Was that a bit of Russell Brand?
No.
He's cancelled.
Similar sort of world. Similar.
Oh.
What if we said?
Yeah.
East side's the best. West side's the best.
Ali G.
Yeah.
Ali G in the house.
Yeah.
You want to know how I make this country better? It's simple. Two words. Keep it real.
That's three words.
Don't be a spanner. It ain't a real word. It's short for innit.
Yeah. So good, Tom.
Oh,
that was fun.
Well done.
You know how we did Talladega Nights last week, and you and I just spent the whole morning giggling at the quotes? Yep. Oh my God. Same with this one.
Nothing we could say on it.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Tom, Lingy, and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
And joining us over Zoom now, very funny man. You'll know him from Little Britain, Australia's Got Talent, Britain's Got Talent, and a whole heap of other projects, including being an author. His name's David Williams. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
We're so very chuffed. I mean, I fell in love with you. I can say it, even though you're looking at me. It's a bit weird. 20 years ago, really, when Little Britain was the biggest thing on TV, you and Matt Lucas coming together for some amazing stuff. 20 years. I mean, does it feel like it's been that long?
No, it doesn't really, to be honest. And I think one of the good things is that the show has still got, you know, still got a lot of recognition factor. Mm. And also with social media and TikTok and Instagram, and people share the clips quite a lot. So it doesn't feel like it's ever totally gone away. And so that is pleasing. And it means there's a sort of new generation of kind of kids on TikTok who... they're never going to sit down and watch the whole thing on like DVD or something like that, because they don't know what DVD is. But they're sort of sharing clips of it and hopefully having a laugh.
Speaking of kids, David, and Tom mentioned it too, you're an author as well, and this your trip to Australia is coinciding with your latest book coming out, Super Sleuth, which is very exciting. I love the fact most of all that it is being offered for sale to Aussie kids before you're even offering it back to the kids in the UK. So just appreciate you giving the Aussies a one up there.
Well, yes, because I obviously knew I'd be here, and I'm doing a adult show in the evenings and a kids show during the days, and a lot of the places I go to, if it's weekends and stuff, is I thought, well, why don't we bring out the book first here? And it's 6 weeks before it's out in the UK. So kids in Australia actually is the first place in the world. So it's not available anywhere else in the world than Australia and New Zealand right now. So it's exciting. I just wanted to, you know, it would seem crazy to come out and talk about a book that's going to be out the moment I get back in the UK. So, but it's great. It's coming out tomorrow. I've been giving them out to people, but tomorrow people can buy them. So I'm very excited.
Lovely. David, so you see, you do adult shows in the evening, children's shows during the day. Comedy shows always sort of pretty famous for heckling, that type of thing. What's the harder crowd to work, a children's crowd or an adult crowd?
Well, the children get very excited. It's very, very sweet. If you ask an audience of children where they'd like a question, the whole place goes bananas and they're jumping up and down on their chairs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Trying to get noticed. And sometimes like rush the stage and stuff because you say, oh, if it's a good, you know, if it's a good question, you get a signed book, and then they go absolute bananas. And then of course you come to them and go, okay, you, and they haven't actually got a question. They just want a signed book. But so it's a little bit different. I mean, some of the best audiences are when it's just kids, like you're in a school or something, and it's like 500 kids and like whatever, 10 teachers or something, because the kids go absolutely bonkers then, and it's lovely. There are different types of questions. I mean, the show is, the adult show is a real sort of, it's a piece of entertainment, and it's me looking back at my life and career. I'm going to be doing some Little Britain characters, and also there are lots of surprises along the way. But there is a moment in the show where people get to ask questions, and that's the bit I'm looking forward to the most, because that's the bit where you have to think on your feet and be spontaneous. And I think audiences like it if, you know, they see something in a show where they know didn't happen on another night, and they like, I don't know, everyone likes it, don't they? When someone makes a joke spontaneously, it's kind of a bit more fun than if it's a kind of, you know, if it's been written in advance. So that's the bit I'm looking forward to the most. And I know that people in Australia are not going to hold back, and they're going to ask me lots of rude questions, which I welcome.
Well, look, the thing is, I mean, I think the question I would ask, and I have an opportunity to do so now, is to get a live version of this grab here.
Bitty. Want Bitty now?
Come on, Harvey, you've had quite enough Bitty for one day.
Want Bitty?
All right, then.
Bitty is used in my friendship group more often than you would think, especially my friend just had a baby, and we're always messaging her, oh, how's the Bitty going and all this type of stuff.
Yeah.
Can you give me a live Bitty?
I want Bitty. When it came about, a friend told me about, you know, some people breastfeed their children, you know, like, kind of a long time after they've been babies, you know, toddlers. Mm. And a friend told me about this kid she knew the mum, obviously, and this kid was about four, and go up to it, the kid would go up to his mum, poke her in the breast and go, Bitty, and it meant breast and titty at the same time.
Yeah.
And so that's why it was Bitty. And so anyway, it made me laugh, and it's one of those things, isn't it? Okay, it's kind of quite funny when it's four, but what if he was 40?
Yeah.
It's so painful to watch, but we love it. Like, we laugh so much, but it's so disgusting at the same time.
Well, it is disgusting, but part of the joke is, because, you know, the show is Little Britain, so we're in Britain, you know, the show's expression of British culture and British life is that no one else mentions it. Do you know what I mean? Like, these terrible things going on. And everyone else is just pretending that nothing's happening. And that is kind of really, I suppose, what the sketch is about, the fact that people just carry on.
We
it's
love
very
it.
British too. No one goes, what the hell are you doing? You know, which is what should happen. But in Britain, it wouldn't. You just carry on. Let's pretend it's not happening.
We loved it. We found it very, very funny. And I just think sort of looking back at it now, as you say, it was a snapshot of life in Britain at that time. Life has moved on, and I think comedy a little bit has moved on. Would you agree? Do you find that you may not get away with some of the stuff that you did get away with then these days?
I feel like Indiana Jones. You know, when he reaches for his hat as the wall goes down, it feels like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different. There's more sensitivities now about things. I mean, culture changes, of course, anyway. So you watch any film, TV show from 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever, it's always going to sort of be, there's going to be things that are a bit jarring because you think, oh God, I didn't know you'd do that then.
Mm.
But I mean, I'm a massive James Bond fan, and you watch old James Bond films and you go, wouldn't do that now, wouldn't say that now. But it's evolved, isn't it? Culture evolves. So that's one thing. And the other thing is that Now it's just much easier because of social media that if you don't like something to kind of, you know, you can make a noise about it. Mm. Whereas before it would have been you'd have to write a letter, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, most people wouldn't do. Yeah. Or find out the number of the BBC complaints department or something. So yeah, I mean, I think it's those two things. But you know, it's a snapshot in time. And it's still enjoyed, and I do think we've got to understand that comedy is playful, and also it's there to make people happy, and we're also going to all like different types of things, like Life of Brian. For me, funniest film ever made. Yes. For the Pope, probably not.
Oh, brilliant!
It doesn't mean that Life of Brian shouldn't exist.
Yeah,
it's just brilliant.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think we've got. But I think most people like a laugh, and I think we're all worried about what someone somewhere might think of something, but we don't really know anyone ourselves who is that censorious. I don't really know anyone who sort of wants to tell comedians off the whole time. But but anyway, I think, you know, there's obviously shock and outrage is a big part of any, you know, of comedy, but of lots of things, isn't it? You know, people... paintings can be shocking, you know, songs, books, you know, and that's often part of what they're trying to do. So we certainly had a shock factor in Little Britain. Mm. And I think that's why, I mean, Bitty, you just mentioned it. I mean, that's obviously a very bad taste joke.
Hilarious.
No, we absolutely love it, David. Hey, while I was reading through some of the info but ahead of this interview, I was blown away by the fact that you've swum the English Channel and you've also swum the River Thames, which is incredible, and raising great money for charity while doing that as well. Have you just had a little look at the recent event in Paris and thought all these people whinging about swimming down the River Seine, it's not that big a deal. If you've swum the Thames, anyone can do it, surely. I got ill.
I got ill swimming the Thames because get this thing, the Thames tummy. So there are, you know, things... bacteria or whatever it is floating in rivers, and it was the Seine too. And so I had to swim for 8 days. I was swimming 140 miles of the Thames.
Wow.
And on about day two, I started to feel really ill. And it's basically a big sort of stomach upset, which is about the last thing you want when you're swimming. And but it passed, and so I did feel for those swimmers in the Seine, especially after the mayor had got in to prove it was safe. Yeah. And it got ill, didn't they? But I mean, that's probably why we don't tend to swim in rivers. I think the sea's generally safer. Mm. But the Thames, I think, is quite dirty in places.
Yeah, especially behind you after you were swimming.
Yeah, behind me.
Extra brown.
If you were caught in that in the riptide.
Well, maybe you can jump in the Yarra for something to do when you head down to Melbourne.
I would love that, but I think you have very bad weather, aren't you? You're having very bad weather in Melbourne at the moment. Is that right?
Mm.
Yeah, just trust us. Don't jump in the Yarra. Do not do that.
I'm going to bring sunshine to Melbourne. But I always have happy memories of Melbourne because we started, when me and Matt toured Little Britain in Australia, we started in Melbourne.
Mm.
And so it was the first time I'd been to Australia. And Barry Humphries came to the very first show that we did.
Wow.
And then the next day he took us out for lunch at this amazing Chinese restaurant, I think called the Flower Drum.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is quite famous.
That's an institution.
You know, because he's such a hero, I can remember, you know, every moment of that lunch, how funny he was with the waiters and all this kind of stuff. And so it will always be very, very, very special to me. And it's such a beautiful city and so so cultured, so full of culture. And I'm going to bring the tone down a bit, but I won't be there for long.
No, it's going to be great. Hey, look, we love the fact that you love Australia so much. We're excited to read the new book, but we're excited to see your book show as well. It's at the Plenary Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre, October 5. Tickets online now at ticketek.com.au. Dave Williams, before we let you go, just quickly, Vicky Pollard, what happened? Is she okay? Welfare check.
She's good, thank you very much. Matt's lost lots of weight. So I think all his, if we do Little Britain again, all his characters are going to look quite different. He's, you know, he's lost something like 8 stone or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
But I was looking at, it popped up, you know, in that way on social media, things just pop up. And there was a sketch of Matt doing a kind of, it was like a kind of dance-off sketch as Vicky Pollard. And I'd forgotten about it because the weird thing is when you make a show like that, it's not like you're watching it after you've made it. It's like you made it, you saw it just to check everything was fine, and then you just move on. Mm. But I was really laughing. I mean, I wasn't in the sketch, if you think, and was laughing at myself. I was laughing at Matt and how funny it was. But yeah, that's an amazing character, and a testament to Matt's genius as a performer to pull that off.
She's had a glow up then, obviously. all right. Hey, safe travels, and we'll catch up with you again
soon.
Thank
you. All right. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, guys.
Tom, Lingy and Lockie. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955, weekday mornings from 6.